For me? Huh? That's for me?
I think someone...
Oh, thank you. Okay. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Rabbi Blesher, for the opportunity. And my dear friend, Rabbi Zelig. I feel right at home. I look around. Looks like I'm in Lakewood. I hope that's a positive thing. Okay. I'd like to speak to you tonight, introduce you to a tool. But not just a tool. You know, a hammer is a tool. A pastrami sandwich is a tool. A swimming pool is a tool. But this is a tool that has intrinsic value. It's not just a way, a method to use to get someplace. But it's something in and of itself that has its own special place. I'm sure you've heard that Chazal tell us, Torah, we have 613 mitzvahs. Tariag mitzvahs. 248 mitzvahs asay, 365 lois asay. And you may as well know that there are various formulations. How do we calculate 613? You have the Rambam. You have Rav Haigoin, Rav Sadigoin. Rabbeinu Yoina, in his Sefer, doesn't actually give us the number 613. But he introduces us to a mitzvah that you would never think we should get credit for this as a mitzvah. You would never imagine that this should be a mitzvah in and of itself. He says as follows, Vida, and you should be aware, Ki hamailois hel yoinois, great levels, great madregas, great plateaus, peaks, Nibsiru b'mitzvah yisaseh. Now the context here, Rabbeinu Yoina in his Sefer is listing in order the various types of mitzvahs. Starting, so to speak, from the bottom, working his way up. And at the bottom of that level, the way Rabbeinu Yoina formulates it, is mitzvah yisaseh. If someone performs the aseh, for the most part, he gets rewarded. But if he does not perform the aseh, the punishment is not the same. There's no kares in general, etc. No malchus. So at the bottom of the level is mitzvah saseh. But he says, but don't treat the concept of mitzvah saseh in any kind of a light way. Vida, be aware. Ki amailois hel yoinois, the great mailois, great levels of life, Nimsruba mitzvah saseh, they're given over with mitzvah saseh. And he gives a list, on top of the list. Kamoi, for example, Mailas ha-bechira. There is something special called bechira. Choice. A correct choice. Shenema. Uvacharto vachay. You shall choose life. That is a mitzvah. Mailas Talmud Torah, etc. So Rabbeinu Yoina is teaching us here something which is an amazing concept. If you think about this for a moment. Imagine someone is subject to temptation. Tempted, should I say Lashon Hara? Should I not say Lashon Hara? Shabbos, should I be makbid and careful to read things on Shabbos that are only really appropriate for Shabbos? Or should I read things even inappropriate? The temptation. Should I speak respectfully to my wife, to my parents? Should I not speak respectfully to my wife or to my parents? And if one chooses on the correct side, he refrains from Lashon Hara. He speaks properly to his parents or to his wife or to his children. And he, on Shabbos, only does activities that are consistent with the spirit of Shabbos. He deserves reward, absolutely. Mitzvah saseh. Rabbeinu Yoina is telling us here that there's a mitzvah in addition to the mitzvah of refraining from Lashon Hara, the mitzvah of wearing tefillin, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The very act of choosing, uvacharto v'chayim, says Rabbeinu Yoina, v'da, ki amailois hel yoinis nimsaru, the mitzvah saseh, the very act of choosing in itself, in and of itself, is a mitzvah. So when a person puts on tefillin in the morning, he gets a mitzvah of tefillin, four mitzvahs of tefillin. In addition to that, he's getting the mitzvah uvavacharto v'chayim. And this is such a powerful concept because Rabbi Yair is not just telling you, when you put on tefillin, when you learn Torah, when you speak properly, you get a second mitzvah, the mitzvah itself, and the overarching mitzvah of uvacharta v'chayim. Tell us something else very important here. Mailois ha'olyonis. Mailois ha'olyonis. There's something about this mitzvah that's not just local. It's not just specific. It's not just another positive point on the scale. It's mailois ha'olyonis. It's something which elevates us. It transforms us. It's transformational. It's a whole different way of living. Mailois ha'olyonis. Thank you. Excuse me a moment.
Choosing not to do
a lesser
sefer.
Yes. There's another sefer that Rabbeinu Yonah wrote, which is a bit more obscure, not so well known, called Shaarei Avoda. Very special sefer, not that it requires my hasgama. And he speaks here a little bit in greater detail about this mitzvah uvavacharta v'chayim. And he speaks about the goal, the ambition, to climb all kinds of levels, all kinds of madrigas, to come close to the level of the Avos HaKadoshim, Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, David, Shlomi, etc. And he tells us that it's not just being like them that that's what makes us into better people. He says just choosing to be like them, looking to be like them, looking to grow, looking to bring us to a higher level in and of itself, even without achieving that level. And so should one act with every type of proper and good quality. Even if he has not yet achieved that. He should desire it. He should feel attracted to it. He should make, and this is the key word, a conscious choice. A conscious choice. To get to that area, to get to that level. And for that choice alone, for the conscious choice alone, of course we know this, in the Hatov and the Chazdei Hashem, that even if we don't actually accomplish any specific mitzvah or midah, just for choosing and desiring to do so, it's enough to get rewarded. And that's what he says here. Just for the choice, yikabel schar, ki abechira, mitzvah sasei. Because bechira in and of itself is a mitzvah. Uvacharta v'chai. But I like to expound on this idea, how bechira is something which is not just a local, specific mitzvah, another point, another area to get rewarded in Gan Eden or even in this world. But it's something which is life-defining, transformational. It makes us into different people. My dear friend, Rabbi Yitzchak Isbi, Zichrono Livracha, would say over a story. And the story is about a fellow who was not born an Orthodox Jew, had everything going for him. Tall and handsome, intelligent, an honor student, the best friends, a wealthy background. His life was being presented to him on a silver platter. He worked. Champion of the football team. And life was just going great. On the campus, I don't know which university, maybe Florida, I don't know. And he's the popular, the honor roll, everything. Who didn't want to be like this person? Until one day, a terrible tragedy occurred. There was a shooting on campus. And this individual was an innocent bystander. And the bullet lodged in his neck. I don't know if you've ever had the misfortune of being around a person who, Rahmanul Islam, is a quadriplegic. Someone who loses all ability to move any of his limbs.
any bodily functions. A person who's a prisoner in their own body. And that's our friend at this point. His life was ruined. Everything he ever dreamed to do was gone. He wasn't an old man. He wasn't somebody with poor potential. All his dreams were shattered. And he descended into a depression. Who could blame him? What can ever be? Why did this happen to him? It's so unfair. And he began to have thoughts of suicide, but he couldn't even pull the trigger. And this went on for a while. Until one day, he began to think. And he thought that, you know, I am alive. And there's got to be a reason that I'm alive. There's got to be a purpose to my existence. I should be thinking about greater things than football, greater things than pastrami sandwiches, greater things than my doctorate. There are higher things than that. And slowly but surely, he pulled himself out of this depression, out of this sense of tragedy, out of his victimhood. And he became an inspirational speaker. And he would be wheeled up onto the stage, and he would come to the microphone. And he would begin by saying the following. He says, you know, one day, I was innocently walking down the pathways of the campus, and I was a victim of a random shooting. But I want to tell you something. The best day of my life is the day that I was shot. Because that's the day, that's the action that brought me to where I am today. Because had that not happened, I would have had the football championship. I would have had the doctorate. I would have had the mansion. I would have had social standing. But that's not what's really important in life. Those are tools. Those are methods. Those are subjective ways, perhaps, to accomplish things. But if a person's focus is not on accomplishing, if a person's focus is not on that higher plane, if it's not a v'chata v'chayim, if it's not an awareness and a sense of conscious choice, a sense of looking around and seeing things as opportunities, understanding that so much that we see has to be seen on a deeper level, on a conscious level. We need to make choices, conscious choices. And when we do that, it's a different level of life. And when the pasuk says, "Uvacharto v'chayim," choose life, the simple meaning is that there's a sechayim ves hamoves, brocha v'aklolo, it's toy v'ra. And the simple meaning, chayim of this pasuk, the life that we're talking about, is simply a mashal. It's simply a way of describing good. Choose good. Uvacharto v'chayim. Because good is associated with life, and ra, evil, is associated with death. Uvacharto v'chayim, choose good. Certainly is true. But it's much more than that. Because life is different. When a person is conscious of what they're doing and where they're going, and why they're doing and why they're going. The Meshech Chochma, in Parshas Bereishis, speaks about the concept of Tzelem Elokim, B'Tzalmoi U'B'Drusoi. What does that mean? We all know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Ein Loi D'Mus HaGuf Ve'Ein Loi Guf. There's no physical body, there's no corporeal body to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's B'Tzalmoi in his form? What does that mean? So says the Meshech Chochma, what this means is that a person has free will. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyoch has the ultimate free will. Human beings also have an unfettered ability to choose, unrestricted, unrestrained at some level. We may not be able to accomplish what we choose to accomplish, but the choice, that mental choice, that's within our power. As Rabbeinu Yonah says, a positive choice is enough. So says the Meshech Chochma, that's how we're like Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzela is Elikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has nothing to stop him. And his choice is not just kaviyochol, a mental choice. Ritzoinoi, goyz avakayim. But for us, we also have free choice. And when we take the opportunity, uvacharto vachayim, we're not just simply taking a few strings and making tzitzis, which is great. But we're taking the very essence of what makes us a human being. Particularly, makes us a Jewish human being. Uvacharto vachayim. You are taking the most precious characteristic that separates us from other creatures in the world. And when you can understand why this is so important. Mailos Helyonos, the great mailos, the great levels, the peak of accomplishment comes about a life which is a full life, a satisfying life. You speak to most people, and they may not be, Rahmanul Islam, quadriplegic, but they might say, to a very great extent, they're victims, or the product of circumstance. Some may be a victim of circumstance, and some may be beneficiaries of circumstance. Like if I ask you, why do you live in Florida, Miami? Sure, it's a good answer in many cases. Maybe you were born here. Maybe you came here to be Marbitz Torah. Maybe you came here for Parnas opportunity. But every aspect of our lives can be infused with the whole. Well, being born here is not a bad reason. But what does that mean? What opportunity does that give me? If I was to go someplace else where I'm unfamiliar, I may have less opportunity to grow and vary, to grow in Parnasa, to grow in a livelihood, to grow in Torah. This comfort level of being where I fit, being where I'm born, being where my friends are, it gives me opportunity. Uvacharto vachayim. Don't just look at yourself, at ourselves. Don't just accept things the way they are just because we happen to be born that way. Happen to be a random set of circumstances. It gives a certain sense of satisfaction of life. A certain sense of happiness. A certain sense of appreciation. A certain sense of substance. It's a life of substance. It's a life of potential accomplishment. And that's why to the heart of Vachayim, as we said a moment ago, Chayim doesn't just mean life because it's good. That it's true, it does mean life because it's good. But Chayim means it's a different life. A set of conscious choices. Walking into the house after a day in the Beis Medrash or a day at work. How do we walk in? Because it's the time of day to walk in. Because it's an opportunity. Take an interesting thing. And we say, in the bracha, we say, I don't know if you've ever thought about this. I'm sure some of you are aware of some of this. But we say every day a bracha, Al Netilas Yodayim. A bracha, we wash our hands. Certainly, it's daily in the morning. And if we wash for bread, however many times a day, Al Netilas Yodayim. But that's an interesting terminology to use. Al Netilas Yodayim. What does Netila mean? Well, certainly in this context, Netila means washing our hands. Now, where else do you find in Chumash, in the Gemara, in Medrash, I guarantee you, you will not find any case where Netilas Yodayim means to wash your hands, to wash, other than the context of Netila. Do you say, I'm Netel apple, I wash the apple? Why do we use the term Netilas Yodayim? So the emes is, in truth, Rishonim give a reason. The Rosh says that Netilas Yodayim, we use that term because we have to wash with a keli, we have to wash with a vessel, excuse me. And that vessel has to have a minimum of a revius. So in the days of the Chachamim, there was a certain standard cup that was called a natla. So as a result, we say, al netilas yodayv. We take a natla, we take this vessel, we take this cup to wash our hands. But says the Iyun Tfila, he's from the Midrash Shel Agro, says it's hard to understand this because of the fact that there was once upon a time such a kind of a cup that was called a natla. So therefore we change the terminology to al netilas yodayim instead of al rechitzas yodayim, al tairas yodayim, al nekias yodayim. There's many good words to use besides netilas yodayim. So says the Iyun Tfila that netila has another meaning. Netila also means to take and to lift up. And he says, why are we washing our hands? Netilas yodayim, we are lifting up our hands, lifting it up in a form of kedusha. Chazal say that this is all the gezedus intended to help the kohanim when they would be tar for the truma. So we lift up our hands. But I'd like to suggest another level of understanding based on Rabbeinu Yonah. We simply are taking our hands. Noitel means to take. Al netilas lulav. We take the lulav. We don't necessarily have to lift the lulav. We take it because we're taking these hands that are just here. But we take a hold of them. And we use them in a conscious way. In a positive way. In a building way. In a holy way. And when we come to eat our meal, we're noitel yodayim. It's not just a mindless picking up the pastrami sandwich or the shawarma, whatever it is. Not just picking that up just as a way of getting into our mouths. We're elevating that process. Netilas yodayim, we're taking control. Taking conscious control of our hands. Uvacharto vachayim. Choosing life. We choose life by taking whatever activity we're doing. Certainly a mitzvah activity. But even mundane activities. Whatever a person does, you provide for your family. Do you help out whoever it may be? There's a purpose. There's a choice. That's the vacharto vachayim. This week's parasha, Parashas Mishpatim. And interestingly enough, the Ramban, and for that matter the Sepurna, they both take a similar way of looking at this parasha. They say that this parasha is meant to be a sequel, an explanation of the Aseres HaDibros. Aseres HaDibros, Anochi, etc. So the first ones were dealt with in the last parasha. This Parshas Mishpatim is meant to address the mitzvah of Lo Sachmoit. The last of the Aseres HaDibros, Lo Sachmoit. Do not desire somebody else's things. So says the Ramban the Sepurna, what does that mean? What is somebody else's things? What's the state of mind that we need to be in? How do we appreciate that which is rightfully ours and that which is not rightfully ours? That's Parshas Mishpatim. So says the Ramban, Parshas Mishpatim is meant to be an explanation, an expounding on the mitzvah of Lois Achmoid. I'd like to talk to you for a moment about the mitzvah of Lois Achmoid. You know, there's a famous Ibn Ezra, but the question that he addresses is, this seems to be a mitzvah which is an impossible mitzvah to expect people to perform. In the simple reading of the word, Lois Achmoid means, do not desire someone else's things. Do not desire someone else's things. Can we control our desires? We can control our actions. Can we control our desires? Either we desire it or we don't desire it. So the Ibn Ezra says a different pshat. I'd like to share with you the teretz of the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch addresses this not in the parsha of Lois Achmoid, but in Vos Chanan of the mitzvah of Lois Esava. Why? Subject for a different time. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, Va'al Tetame. And don't be surprised, don't be astonished to say, how can the Torah demand of a person to control their thought process, to control their desires, to control their interests. You'll forgive me, I'm going to say what he says here, but you may not like it, but this Sefer HaChinuch. I don't mean you. You're Kadosh Baruch Hu, anybody. I didn't like it either. I mean, I wouldn't. He says as follows. It's not true. V'lo yoymru oisoi zulosi hatipshim harayim. The only people that would make such a claim with any real sense of validity in their own mind are tipshim, fools, evil fools. The hatam b'nafshoisa, and people that are sinners with their soul. It's a tough one, huh? That's what he says. He says, only people that would make such a claim that we cannot control our feelings, our thoughts, our emotions, our interests, our desires. You can look it up. Don't have to believe me, but I'm reading it to you, the words. Zulosi atipshim harayim. Evil fools. Vechatom benafshoysa. Ki biyado odom limnoya atzmoya machshava. A person does have control. Now you may say, how is that? How do we do that? I'd like to share with you a story. It's a story about a very great person, perhaps you've heard of him, but Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, the Rav Yerushalayim. And he would say, he says, you know, the midas hakinah, to be jealous of other people, I don't generally suffer from that. But there's one person for whom I have kinna. There is one person that I have a certain sense of envy. And that person is the Shagas Aryeh. The Shagas Aryeh. The Shagas Aryeh lived a few hundred years before Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. But he says, my feeling of envy is because of a story. And the story goes, the Shagas Aryeh, at the end of his life, he was already, his strength was ebbing, and they already called the Chevra Kadisha, and they're surrounding his bedside, and he knew that his life was ebbing away. And he asked people around him, he wants to make the best of his last few minutes on this world. He says, pass me a Gemara. I'll take some poetic license to pass him a Gemara Brachas. And they go, okay, Shabbos. There you go. Now, just to give you a little bit of a picture of Shagas, Rav Menachem Kaplan used to tell us that the Shagas Aryeh, when he would walk from his Amud to the Bima for an Aliyah, at that period of time he would chazer 100 blot. So you get a little picture of the Shagas Aryeh. See, maybe you'll ask him, why do you need the Gemara? I don't know. Maybe at the end of his life. But the point, turning the pages, I don't know if he got to Menachas or to me, I don't know where he got to. But at some point, the Chevra Kadisha, they start murmuring and whispering and saying, you know, there's not much time left. It's time. Time, he should be saying Vidui. He's going. But he doesn't stop for a second. What should we do? So they came up with a plan. You know, next time he asks for the next Masechta, give him instead the Sefer Marva Yabok. Sefer Marva Yabok is a Sefer which deals with matters of Avelus, matters of mourning. And in Sefer Marva Yabok, I understand there's a Nusach of Vidui. And he'll understand that this is our job, this is what we're here for, the Chevra Kadisha, the last rite, so to speak. So they pass him the Marva Yabok. And he looks at the Sefer. He understands what they mean. He says, I don't need the Sefer. He says, all my life, my mind has been so involved in Torah, so involved in learning. I mentioned a moment ago, the 100 blot from the Amud to the seat. He wasn't thinking, is it Shlishi, is it Chamishi, is it Shishi? Just 100 blot. And he said, I was so busy, my mind was so preoccupied with Torah, Not just I didn't sin, I didn't do any averas. I didn't have a moment to think about an avera. The mind is full. The mind is involved. It's a conscious choice. Says the Rambam, Hilchos Isaribiyah. Says the Rambam. She'ein machsheves arayos miskaberes. The power of thoughts, problematic thoughts, do not overpower a person, do not interfere with a person's ability to do what they need to do. Elo belev ponui min hachochma. Only in a heart and a mind that is devoid, vacuous, empty. A mind that's not preoccupied with chachma. A mind that's wandering. I'll avoid references to the supers. A mind that's wandering in things which have no substance. That's a mind that gives opportunity for the Yetzer Hara, for thoughts which are improper. And if you allow me to go back to the Sefer HaChinuch, listen to what he says. Maybe it won't be so stinging anymore, because now we have a way to deal with this. I'll start from the beginning again, okay? He says, this thought process that I cannot control my thoughts, my feelings, my desires, my interests, my attractions. Only evil fools will make such a statement. The Hatom ben Avshaysa. Powerful, scary words. Ha'odam biyad ha'odam limnoya atzma. A person has control. He has the ability to control. And he is in control and he has the ability to think. I'll skip to the end, which is the part I want to get to. The Chazal speak about Lev Toiv. What is Lev Toiv? That's a heart that's full of good. That good could be full of the good of giving, full of the good of Yerushalayim, full of the good of Torah, in Toiv al Torah. The more the heart is filled with good, the more Uvachart Uvachayim, the more we have a conscious process to live life, to live life. Not just to float and to drift as the wind blows. Not just, well, I'm this age and I do this, at that age I do that, at that age I don't do that anymore. That's not the way it goes. It's a sense of a bachart of a chayim, a full life, a satisfying life. And by filling it with tithe, that gives us the control that we need. Tip shemaroim are not filled with tithe. At a Torah Masorah convention years ago, Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked the following question. With this thought, we'll finish. I know Rav Elie Shvei, my Rosh Yeshiva, Zichrono Livracha, said over this particular Hadracha for Rav Moshe Feinstein. I think most of us here are old enough to have heard of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein. So the question was posed to Rav Moshe Feinstein. I hope I'm not stepping in any minefield here, but I'll try. It says, why is it that we teach young children Bava Metzia, Bava Kama? It's so abstract. It's so hard to, so impractical. Learn with them. Sechta Brochais. That's geschmack. They understand right away. Krishma. They know it's my Krishma, no? Those Krishma. They understand Shemana Esrei. Shabbos. Beya. Psachim. It's alive. They'll connect with it. Why do we do this to ourselves? These children, they come, it's torture. Why don't we change the curriculum and teach young children that which they can understand and relate to? And Moshe Feinstein said, something very important here. He says, a Yid, a Jew, has to know that his life is not the same life as a non-Jew, even a religious non-Jew. He says, to a typical standard non-Jew, the religious life is on the holidays. The religious life is in the church, in the temple. But outside of that, that's not religion. Outside of that, certainly there may be, you know, culture, there may be propriety, but religion is restricted to holidays. It's restricted to the places, in their view, places of holiness. But the idea that every moment of life is a religious moment of life, that's a Jewish concept. And that concept is brought home by the Eila HaMishpatim Asher Tasim Rufneihem, by Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, and Bava Basra. When you pick up something and you clean it, that's the mundane activity. How do you do that? Is it with Akbar? Is it with Meshicha? Chalipin? What happens if something is lying in the street? It's a mitzvah to return it. What happens when you're running to shul and you push over someone on the way, or, as I saw Solanter's case, stepped on his freshly polished shoes? What happens with that? Says Moshe Feinstein, a Jewish boy from the youngest age, has to know that it's not just the religion in the shul. It's not just the religion on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. Every moment of the day, it's filled with opportunity. It's filled with life. It's filled with mitzvah. It's filled with Torah. It's filled with elikus. V'charta v'chayim. This awareness, this concept. There's many levels of this concept. But you've got to start somewhere. Make these choices. Make this, understand this. And by doing so, not only will we have a mitzvah, we have satisfaction, we have substance, we have a sense that what we're doing means something. It's just so meaningful, so important, so fulfilling. She's zeicha to livchar b'chayim.